Matthew 5, verse number 6. Let's just look at the screen. Let's just read it together, all right? Can we all read it together? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. One more time. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. Your word will not return void, but it shall prosper in that which it is sent tonight. Lord, we declare that every seed that has been sown in our heart and every seed that has been watered, we believe tonight this is the time of harvest in the name of the Lord Jesus. You sent your word and healed us. Lord, those that are here that have sickness in their body, I declare tonight as the word of God is going forth, let healing flow, let pain go in the name of the Lord Jesus, and let the virtue of Jesus come into everybody tonight in the name of the Lord. I'm asking tonight that the gifts of the Spirit be in operation, that we may profit by their manifestation, that we may boldly speak the word of the Lord and not be afraid. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Tell somebody, I see great things coming your way. It's inevitable. Come on. Tell somebody, and then you may be seated. This morning, I turned my phone off at night because people from Haiti and Africa and India will call me in the middle of the night, you know, and so I just turned my phone off. And I let Lori leave hers on, you know, that way if it's something we really need, somebody knows how to get a hold of her. But this morning when I turned on my phone very early, almost immediately I got a phone call from a young man from Oklahoma City. He's 25 years old. His dad has been a childhood friend of mine since, you know, we were just, you know, kids running around. His dad was a pastor. My dad was a pastor. So at pastor's things, we went to those things together. He was a little bit older than me, by I think 3 years or so. And I got on the phone and, this young man is going with me to Chicago, and he's a great preacher. At 25, he can preach like nobody's business. And he told me, he said, well, at 3 o'clock, our mom came down and got my sister and I and said, your dad's having problems breathing. And when we went up there, he wasn't breathing. My sister gave him mouth to mouth, and nothing was happening. They called the ambulance, and he had no response. My dad died. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It hit me like a ton of bricks, but it tells me something, that we all are going to die one day unless we go in the rapture. And I'm praying tonight, my prayer has been all day, that we will not take eternity lightly. Because I think some of us play around and think that we got all the time in the world. Who would ever thought my friend didn't have any sickness, no problems? He'd not been in the hospital. He didn't have cancer. He didn't have heart problems. Didn't have anything going on. I don't even know what happened. All I can tell you is it is important to be ready to meet God. The condition that you are in spiritually is important. Sometimes we take, I want to be financially, in a good condition. I want to be physically in good condition. But I think more than anything, we ought to be concerned about our spiritual condition. The Word of God says if we are hungry and thirsty, that He would fill us. And so tonight, we are responsible for the condition that we are in spiritually. And tonight, I want to speak about a word that we are all familiar with. We don't use it that much in our vocabulary because it's a very strong word, but it means intense driving. It means a feeling of conviction, and it's used to describe the time between Christ's death or the Last Supper and His death. That word would be passion. Everybody say passion. Do you realize that everybody in here is passionate about something? And if I were to talk to you for more than 5 minutes, most of us would talk about that which we are passionate about, whether it be a relationship or whether it be a car, a job, a home, or our team, or our hobby, whatever that might be, or the mall. Everybody's passionate about something. Now, I'm not saying that these things are wrong, but when your passion becomes stronger for the things of the world than for the things of God, then something is wrong. And I believe tonight I want to ask you this question: where is your passion and how is your passion for God? Pastor Hans talked about, you know, when people fall away, you can tell by the stuff they put on Facebook. And, you know, I look around this world and I even look in this church and there are some people who were once passionately in love with the Lord. And they have compromised their walk with the Lord. And perhaps it's the cares of this life, but I'm asking you tonight, where is your passion? And how's your passion for God? Everybody say passion. Look over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. The Word of God says in Ephesians 5, 17 and 18, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I have people ask me all the time, how can I know the will of God for my life? And we know according to the Word of God, there are some things that are His will. It is His will that none should perish. God wants the whole world to be saved. That's why He sent His Son Jesus. So that's why we go to all the world and not just some of it. Amen? It is His will that your family is saved. It's God's will that your neighbors are saved. It's God's will that your ugly, mean boss is saved. Amen? That is the Word of God. But it says, understand what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So the will of God for your life, you know, some people say, well, I'm not sure if I need to be filled with the Spirit. The will of God, the will of the Lord is that you be filled with the Spirit. God wants you full of the Holy Ghost. But He said there, and be not drunk with wine. Now, I grew up very classical Pentecostal. My grandfather was a Pentecostal preacher. My dad is a Pentecostal preacher. And I heard a lot of preaching from the pulpit, you ought not be drunk with wine. I'm going to take it further tonight. I think you ought not be drunk with wine, Coors, Chivas Regal, Crown Royal, Jack Daniels, Budweiser, Jose Cuervo. I better stop there. You may think I know too many. But I believe it's the Lord's will for you not to be intoxicated with anything of this world, but rather be intoxicated with the things of God. I'm still talking about passion. But when I talk about passion tonight, I want to say, number one, passion will give you a strong excitement about God and for God, unlike others. I think we have a tendency to think that as long as we're in church as much as other people and we tithe and we do these things and I clap and I get with the worship team, I'm okay. But the Bible said it's very unwise to compare yourself to others. So I'm not trying to compare myself to your pastor or to any other preacher, but I am not trying just to keep up with these guys. I am running this race to win. So I have got to be careful about what is going on, but passion will give you a strong excitement about God and for God, unlike others. There's a man greatly used in this country. At a time when they said you could not have revival, they said, all the preachers said, revival's a thing of the past. Nobody wants revival. People are more interested in the things of the world than the things of God. But there was one man, and he died in 1758. All right? But in this country, he was greatly used of God when nobody else said anything could be done. Nearly 10% of the population of this country were saved during the Great Awakening. We know at least 25 to 35,000 people were added to the church because of one man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. Now, listen to this. One man, when everybody else said it couldn't be done, they began to talk about him. They began to talk about him behind his back. And they would ask, his close friends, what makes Jonathan Edwards different? And everyone that knew Jonathan Edwards would say he is a man intoxicated with God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That is a compliment tonight. I don't know. There's many of you that don't know me very well, but I'm praying, Lord, I want that kind of passion in my life. I want to be known as a man intoxicated with God, because I believe God can change this world with just one man or one woman or one teenager intoxicated for Him. If you believe it, say amen tonight. A God-intoxicated man. Passion will give you a strong excitement about God and for God, unlike others. Everybody say passion. Now go over to Acts chapter 6. Still talking about passion. Verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Stephen was a man of faith and the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, Stephen was a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not having you repeat because I have nothing else to do. I want you to remember those two things. He's full of faith and he's full of the Holy Ghost. Now, he preaches a very long message in Acts chapter 7. And the message is so long that if I read all of Acts 7, some of you'd want to go home. By the look on some of your face, some of you already want to go home. But he gets some results from his preaching. How many believe when the preacher preaches, he ought to get results? I didn't come all the way from Costa Rica to here expecting nothing to happen this week. Because I know your pastor well enough, and I know what happens behind this pulpit. He preaches the word. It is the incorruptible seed. And when you plant seed and water seed, that next thing that happens is harvest has got to come. Do you understand that your pastor does not get results just because he's a pastor? And I don't get results just because I'm an evangelist. But if you preach the word, I'm going to tell you, the word will not return void, but it will prosper in that which it is sent. So preacher, preach the word. But now he preaches a long message. Let me read some of it to you out of Acts 7. I'm not going to read all of it. But part of his message is this. He says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Now, some of my friends have called me a hard preacher before, but I've never called people stiff-necked and uncircumcised. I'm sure some of you used to go to that church, but and when they heard these things, now he's starting to get some results. They were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, we said he's full of the Holy Ghost and what? Full of faith. He's full of faith in the Holy Ghost. He looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, and stoned him. He got some results to his preaching. Probably not what he was looking for. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now what would cause a man, as they are gnashing on him with their teeth, as they are throwing stones at him, as he's breathing his last breath, as they run him out of town, he says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I think of one word, passion. Tonight, passion will cause you to forgive unlike others. Passion will cause you to forgive unlike others. Now, I don't know what kind of church we have here, but Stephen was a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Now, if we say that we are full of the Holy Ghost, then faith was there. The Bible says in Galatians 3:2, you received the Spirit by faith. Galatians 3:14, you received the Spirit by faith. So if you are filled with the Spirit, faith was there. Can you understand that? And then the next thing is automatic. The Bible says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. So if you're full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, love comes. Now, I don't know about this church, but we got some people where I grew up that said they were full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and yet in my dad's church, we had a bunch of liars in that church. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, faith, Holy Ghost, and love. One of them was missing. I saw how those people acted toward each other at business meetings. I saw these people that say they were full of faith and the Holy Ghost. They spake with tongues. And if they saw each other at a store in town, they would dart down another aisle so they wouldn't have to talk to each other. How many understand that speaking in tongues loses its credibility if we won't talk to one another? I'm preaching better than your amen in tonight. We sang lies in my dad's church. We didn't just have liars, we sang lies. Let me explain it to you. This is old-time church, all right? We sing, 'tis the old-time religion, make you love everybody. I saw how they acted in that church when somebody came in that looked like they had too much or not enough or smelled different or looked different. Folks, the Bible says all liars have their place in the lake of fire, even if you're singing them. You better watch what you sing. Because not every one of those songs that come up on the screen are anointed and godly. They should be, but sometimes something slips through. Come on. I'm not harassing anybody, I'm telling you. We used to sing this song. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Well, I knew that was a lie. Because we had little old grandmas in my dad's church that had been serving God 40 and 50 years, and some new convert would come in off the street, and that new convert could outpraise those old grandmas. If he's sweeter every day, then no new convert ought to be able to outpraise you. Can I get an amen in here? You say, oh, we don't sing lies anymore. How about a song that was pretty popular about 10 years ago? Back when you only had one building, one service, I mean. One service, remember? When you got out at noon. I was here. We'd sing that song. I can sing of his love forever. As long as it's not 12:05. Passion will cause you to forgive unlike others. Listen to me tonight. We are named after Jesus Christ himself. We are called Christians because we are to take on the attributes of him. And if we're going to take on the attributes of him, at the place called Calvary, he had thorns thrust into his brow. He was beaten beyond recognition. They spit on him and they mocked him. He was nailed to the cross for you and I. And at the cross, when they shoved that spear into his side, every drop of his blood poured out for you and I. And yet at the place called Calvary, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And some of us can't get over it because somebody looked at us funny. Passion will cause you to forgive unlike others. Go to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears. that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Everybody say my people. How many know if you don't care about your people, probably nobody else is going to? Go over a chapter or a book to the right is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 48, 49, and 50. Jeremiah says again, my eye runs down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Everybody say my people. Mine eye trickles down and ceases not without any intermission till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Jeremiah said, I am going to pray, and if the heavens seem like they're brass, I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray with some tears in my eyes for my people, because my people are worth it. He had something going on there. I believe tonight, what would make a man say that I am going to pray until there's a breakthrough? Passion will cause you to pray unlike others. Are you with me tonight? You say, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. The Bible says that we ought not to pray, or we ought to pray, excuse me, and not to faint. And yet everybody believes that we ought to pray, but nobody's praying. Nobody says, oh, I don't think we shouldn't pray anymore. I think that's of the past. Everybody says we ought to pray, but nobody's doing it. In most churches that I go to, it's gotten so bad that the closing prayer might as well be, now I lay me down to sleep. Do you remember in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was remembered by God for two reasons. By his giving alms to the poor. So, you know, you get tired of giving an offering during revival. Just, you know, think about that. Cornelius gave alms to the poor. And the second thing he was remembered for was praying. If God is remembering the American church by our praying, he's nearly forgotten us. We had a lady in my dad's church. All the grandmas sat on the second row in my dad's church when I grew up. All the old ladies sat on that second row. They all wore cotton, worn-out looking dresses. That's what I remember. I don't know what I told you that part for, but it's okay. But all those old ladies sat there, and all of them have died at least 25, 30 years ago, but one of them's still living. So evidently she wasn't that old. She just had the dress. She's still living, still serving God. But this woman, Mary is her name, every time we had church, she'd be at the altar praying. And she would pray at least half an hour before church. And I always remember Sister Mary would get up off of her knees and she would have the joy of the Lord, and it would spread to other people. And yet I knew something about her home life. Mary's husband was an alcoholic. And I didn't really know much about alcoholism. The only way I knew about alcoholism was watching the Andy Griffith Show. I thought everybody was a nice drunk like Otis. How many know that's not reality? Usually whatever you are is magnified when you put some alcohol down you. If you are a donkey, you are a big donkey with alcohol. Thank God I didn't use King James. Remember the second point? Passion will cause you to forgive unlike others. Some of you ready to throw stones at me now, all right. But Mary's husband would beat her every time she came to church. And Mary came to church every time the doors were open. And now we didn't just have a revival here and there. My senior year, I think we had 5 5-week revivals. That's half the year. So she's getting a beating every other day. And yet she'd come to church, and we knew she was praying for her husband. She prayed 10 years. She prayed 20 years. She prayed 30. We moved away, and she was still praying for his salvation. And she'd get up off of her knees, and she would have the joy of the Lord, because her joy was not in her husband, but her joy was in Jesus. The joy of the Lord is my strength. We moved away. My dad got a phone call about 10 years later. On a Monday morning, very early, it was Sister Mary called my dad very early in the morning. She said, "Brother Eccles, I hope you're up." She said, "I couldn't wait any longer." She said, "Yesterday I was sitting on the second row at church with my cotton, worn-out looking dress." She didn't say that. She said, "I'm sitting on the second row at church." And she said, "When the altar call was given," she said, "I was interceding for people to be saved." She said, "When I looked up, many people had walked down the aisle to give their heart to Jesus." She said, "But my husband had snuck in, sat on the back row, and when the invitation was given, he walked down that aisle and gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ." She said, "I've been praying for him for 40 years. 40 years. 40 years. She said, I don't even know how to act." She said, "Guess what, Brother Eccles? He came back to church on Sunday night." How many know the saved people come back to church on Sunday night? That's good preaching right there. "He came back to church on Sunday night and he got baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues." She said to my dad, she said, "I don't even know what to do. It's like crazy at the house. It's like living with another man. I tell you what, some of you are sick of living with the one you got. Get him saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. It'll be like living with another man. And legal on top of it." 40 years. Passion will cause you to pray unlike others. Listen, the only thing that kept that man out of a devil's hell that he deserved. Thank God he didn't get what he deserved. But that woman prayed for 40 years. I don't know what would happen to a man like that today, because in most churches we got some kind of Dr. Phil look-alike in the pulpit, and he, you know, he'd say, "Kick his rusty dusty out of the house." After about 4 days, that man would split hell wide open. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what's going on in your life today, but this earth is the only hell a saved person will ever know. But this earth is the only heaven an unsaved person will ever know. If you're saved, this is as bad as it will ever get. But if you're unsaved, I'm going to tell you something. You got all the stuff going on in this world, and you got hell too. Folks, I'm going to tell you, you ought to get saved tonight. Amen? Passion. Let's keep talking about passion. I'm getting finished here, but Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verses 1, 2, and 3. Paul says, "I say the truth in Christ." He said, "I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." What would cause a man to say, "I wish I were accursed from Christ for my relatives and my friends"? I come up with only one word: passion. Passion will cause you to care more about others than you care about yourself. Passion. This is the man that says in Romans 10 and 1 that my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. This is the man that says in Philippians 3 and 10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I believe passion comes because we know him. And if we draw away from him, we lose our passion. Passion. We're talking about passion. Listen to me. Passion will cause you to care more about others than you care about yourself. I told you about Jonathan Edwards, the God-intoxicated man. That man wrote a book about a young man by the name of David Brainerd. That book has changed many, many lives. It's worth reading. Everybody should read it. It's like a Bible, you know. You ought to read it and then read some other stuff too. But this is one of them. David Brainerd was going to be the husband to his daughter, Jonathan Edwards. But David Brainerd had tuberculosis. He's a young man, but he had a passion to see the Native American Indian saved. I was up in Pennsylvania preaching near New Jersey. So I don't know if I was in New Jersey or Pennsylvania when we're driving. We'd cross the border perhaps. But right there on the side of the road was a roadside marker. And the pastor, he said, I think you'll be interested in this. And he said, get out of the car and look at that marker. And I got out and it said, David Brainerd lived just a few hundred yards from here in a cabin when he ministered to the Native American people. I walked on that land and I felt blessed. Now, I'm not into weird, you know, curses, and I don't go to the graveyard and all that kind of weird stuff, okay? But I'm going to tell you, I still think there can be leftover anointing where anointed people have been. You remember the dead bones? Whatever. Okay, I'll leave it alone. I don't want to preach all that. But David Brainerd, the history books tell us that he prayed on his knees for the American Native American Indian to be saved. And he prayed intently, but he prayed not in a beautiful building like we're at with air conditioning and all and heating and all the luxuries that we had. He prayed outside, and he prayed in the snow on his knees. And they said he prayed so fervently that the ground around him, a 3-foot circle around him, melted as he prayed in the snow. But that's not it. When he was praying, the ground was covered with blood because as he was praying, he was coughing up his lungs, really, because he was dying of tuberculosis. And everybody told him, you should go rest and maybe you'll live long enough and maybe you'll get through this and maybe there'll be a cure or whatever. But his passion would not allow it. And they said that when he got up off of his knees and he walked among the dwelling of the Native American people, that some began to fall out under the power of God. Others fell on their knees and repentance and revival came because one man had passion that caused him to care more about others than he cared about himself. I say, Lord, give me that kind of passion. That's what I want. I haven't been to Pakistan for a while, but I used to go to Pakistan all the time and my connection there got a little fuzzy. I don't even know what that means. Just don't worry about it. But, you know, you want to go with somebody you trust to Pakistan. Can I get an amen in here? All right, well, I went and I'd been many times. I've seen more than 150,000 people come to Jesus in the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. And I used to go there. I went 21 days one time by myself. I don't know if I was crazy or what. But I'm talking to the mirror, you know. After 21 days, I'm going, hey, man, how you doing? You know, it was different. But I preached many, many times there, and I preached all over the country. And I was going to Quetta. Quetta is on the border of Afghanistan. And Quetta, I'd been there for a crusade before. There was a man in that town, a pastor with the Pentecostal Holiness. His name was, he had an Urdu name. And because I come from Oklahoma, I don't speak Urdu any better than you do. So I call him Pastor Wilson, okay? I gave him an American name, Pastor Wilson, an English name. Pastor Wilson was the man that when I went for a crusade, how many know they don't just go, oh, an American's coming, we'll just give you everything. I flew Pakistani International Air. I'm the only one that looked like me. Does that make any sense? I'm the only one on that plane that didn't like curry. But I'd fly over there, and when I get there, Pastor Wilson's the guy that I'd send money to. He'd rent the soccer stadium with my money. And he'd do all the advertising that we're having a healing meeting. And he'd do all the setup. And when I get to the airport, I'm expecting him to be there, and when I get there, he's not there. There's some other pastors there, and they say, I say, where's Pastor Wilson? Very nonchalantly, they say, oh, he's in jail. I said, why is he in jail? I'm thinking he's committed some terrible crime. And they all say, oh, he baptized a Muslim in water. That's punishable by death in that country if they want to. That's that religion of peace. Baloney. And I'm going to tell you, you think I'm being ugly? I don't see any of you going to Pakistan. I don't see you going to Ramallah. I don't see you preaching in, you know what I'm saying? I preached in a lot to a lot of Muslims, so I think I can say what I say, whether you like it or not. All right. So we all gather together. I said, we need to pray that he gets out of the jail, because, you know, number one, I need him, and number two, we don't want him to go die, right? He's important to the kingdom, and he's got a family, and we love him, and all these things. He's my friend. So we pray. Well, we go on with the crusade. 3 days later, I come up, and I step up on the platform, and on the back row, Pastor Wilson's sitting back there. Praise God. They'd released him. I went over, and I hugged his neck. I said, Pastor Wilson, I'm so glad to see you. I said, how'd you get out of jail? He said, well, they beat me. And they told me never to baptize a Muslim again. He said, but he looked at me, pointed his finger, put it in my face. He said, but I must be about my Father's business, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then he looks at me and he says, it is better to obey God than man. Now, what would cause a man to do this? I've ate in his home. He has a wonderful wife. He has beautiful children. I've eaten meals at his house. Why would he baptize a Muslim and risk his family's life? I said, Brother Wilson, I said, how many times have you been put in jail for baptizing Muslims? He said, after 20 times, I quit counting. What would cause a man to risk his life and his family's future to baptize Muslims? I come up with one word: passion. Passion will cause you to care for others more than you care about yourself. This is what Christianity is. Let me close with this. 1 Kings 18:41. One verse here. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. We're still talking about passion. Elijah says unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. Now, it had not rained. They are in famine. Famine is when there's no harvest, there's no rain. And yet he says, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Passion will make you hear what others cannot. He sends his servant out. He says, I want you to go see what you can see. He comes back six times and says, I see nothing. But on the seventh time, he says, I see a cloud like the size of a man's hand. But he said it in such a way that it was like, yeah, it's insignificant, just a little bitty cloud. Are you hearing me? But passion will make you see what others cannot. Elijah, he knew that little cloud was loaded with the very anointing of God. Now listen to me. Some of you are in here tonight and you got all kinds of issues. You got problems. Your relatives know what's going on. You've been in famine. You've been in lack. You've been in trouble. You've been all these things. And yet you still got hope in Jesus Christ. You still got faith in Him. And all they see is a little cloud over your head. But what they don't know is that little cloud is the anointing of God. And it is breaking every yoke of bondage. When he saw that cloud, he heard about the cloud, he sees the cloud. He took off running and outrun horses for 26 miles. Passion will make you run this race different. Folks, I told you earlier, I'm not running to keep up with people. Folks, I am not comparing myself to others. I don't really care if the world knows who I am. I don't care if people like who I am. I'm not trying to please them. I am out to please God in this race. I'm running to win. Now, I want to close with this, and I've told this story here before. But my dad calls me every Sunday morning. No matter where I'm at in the world, he calls me every Sunday morning. My dad pastored 67 years. He's 86. He's in good health. He might take a few little things, but not that big a deal. Are you understanding me? He swims every day. It's probably more work getting undressed and getting dressed than it is swimming. But he still preaches from time to time, and on Sundays, he always calls me and just prays. Usually, it's really quick. Just want to pray for you. So I don't, I've got Lori here. I got Sally and Lily here, but we didn't come alone. We came with the prayers of my dad. But one Sunday, he calls me, and he says, you didn't know, but your aunt and uncle are at our house. I didn't know they were there. I didn't know they were coming. My aunt and uncle live in the town where my dad grew up. All right, and they're from Ohio. My dad is from Ohio, but he's living in Tulsa, God's country. So anyhow, man, if you like a rushing mighty wind, we have it in Oklahoma. We have the Book of Acts every spring. But my dad, he begins telling me a story that I'm going to close with, and I couldn't figure out why he was telling the story, because I can tell the story better than him, because I've heard it so many times. My dad begins to tell me, he said, Doug, when I was 18, I was middleweight Golden Glove champion of Ohio, boxing champion. He said, somebody invited me to church next door to the house that I lived in. Emmanuel was the name of the church. He went over to the church on Sunday morning, and the Sunday school teacher was the pastor's wife, and she preached that or taught that you must be born again. My dad didn't like it. He got in an argument with the pastor's wife as a visitor. But he stayed for church, and that morning the pastor preached on the coming of the Lord. And my dad said he was under extreme conviction, but he didn't go to the altar. How many know conviction's a good thing? It's one of the advantages of the Holy Spirit. I don't know why people act like, you know, there's some people that say, well, you know, that word is not in the Bible. God doesn't, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't convict. You're so stupid, you need to quit preaching. Just going to say it. If we weren't under conviction, none of us would have got saved. And then it'd be just like, I get a lollipop because I got saved. Really? How stupid is that? He's under conviction. He knew he wasn't right. He had sin in his life. Folks, I prayed today that if you got sin in your life, that you're so uncomfortable you can't stand it. Some of you don't like my preaching because of conviction. And sometimes, you know, I don't even like my preaching. He had a date that afternoon, and he wouldn't drive his car over 25 miles an hour because he's afraid he might die before he got right with God. He cut the date short. He went back to church on Sunday night to Emmanuel. He went back to that church. That church was a German Assemblies of God church, okay? They did half the sermon in English, half in German. And that night they had a woman evangelist there. And she preached on the mark of the beast, 666, and what happens if you miss the rapture. He said that night he ran to the altar. He said other people went to the altar, but one of them that went to the altar that night was a young man that he was in class with. A young man that was a senior the same time he's a senior. His name was Johnny Schmitzmatzen, a German church. My dad went to that altar, got saved. After he got saved, he walked over to the pastor. He said, Pastor, I'm saved. Now what do I do? The pastor looked at my dad and said, Son, fast and pray until you get filled with the Holy Ghost. My dad didn't even know what fast and pray meant. He had to ask him. So for the next 2 weeks, he began to fast and pray. He heard about a revival in Detroit, Michigan. He hitchhiked to the Detroit meeting. He got there on a Thursday afternoon about 2 o'clock, walked through the doors. As soon as he walked through the doors, he began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave him utterance. He went back to his pastor in Ohio. He said, Pastor, I'm saved and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Now what do I do? That's a lot different than today. We get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and we want to tell the pastor what to do. Where's your hanky when you need it? You know I'm a pastor's son. Sometimes I'm anointed, sometimes I meddle, and sometimes it's so close I can't tell any difference. The pastor looked at my dad and he said, Son, you need to fast and pray some more. He said, in 2 weeks, you're holding us a revival. My dad said, a revival? He didn't, you know, he said, what would I say? He said, that's what I'm telling you. You better get in the Word, son. God will give you something to say. Now, my dad had a little bit of notoriety because he was the middleweight Golden Glove champion of Ohio. They put out posters with him, you know, in his boxing uniform. That was pretty racy in those days. Because, you know, you don't wear a shirt to box in. And then they had him hold a Bible in the other hand, and they had him the Billy the Kid, the fighter, and they had him the Hallelujah Kid on the other side of the poster. 2 weeks later, he held a revival in that church. He said, I didn't have a lot to say. He said, I didn't know what to say. I just read a scripture, told what Jesus did for me. I swung my arms a little bit like I was fighting the devil. He said, I gave an altar call. In that meeting, over 150 young people gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. He told me that, and I'm still going, why are you telling me this, Dad? Couldn't figure it out. And you know, I realize that there are people that have come to the altar and been influenced by his ministry all over the world. I'm a product of his ministry. I'm like, Dad, why are you telling me this? He said, well, I told you, your aunt and uncle are at my house. My uncle is in law enforcement. He knows everybody in town. You know, he's been there his whole life. He told me one of my classmates died this week. Johnny Smitsmotson. Now, Johnny, he died. My dad said, your uncle told me Johnny died the town drunk. Now, what's the deal? My dad and Johnny went to the same church, Emmanuel Assembly of God, heard the same preaching the same night from the same woman evangelist at the same altar. My dad saw Johnny 20 years later after that night at a class reunion. He said, Johnny, what happened to you at Emmanuel Assembly of God? Johnny looked at my dad and said, get out of my face, preacher, you're bugging me. But I'm going to tell you, there's a price to pay when you lose your passion. See, I think most people, we don't lose it overnight. It's just a little bit here and a little bit there, and pretty soon. You say, am I lose my passion? Will I become the town drunk? Well, it's possible, but here's the truth. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah.
Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast of this service. I pray the word was a great blessing to you, and I know the word enriches our lives and transforms us. Romans says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we know that comes through listening to the word and putting the word into action into our lives. You know, I was thinking just recently that the greatest decision I ever made in my life, I made when I was 16 years old. I'd only been to church a couple times, but I had a period of my life where I come under a great conviction, and God was speaking to me. I didn't know it to be the voice of God at the time, but now, all these years later, I know God was calling me. So I responded by opening up the Bible. My parents had a copy of the Bible. I'd never read the Bible. I opened it up and I began reading one of the Gospels. And as I read, the stories of Jesus leapt off the page to me. And they became so vivid and so alive in my reading. And it pushed me, it caused me to call out to God in prayer. I asked the Lord to just forgive me of all sin. I remember praying, God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to serve you. I want to be a Christian, whatever that means. And that's the beginning, and it's the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. If you're not serving the Lord today, and you'd like to make that decision and have that life transformation happen to you, you can do that right now, wherever you are. If you're driving in a car, if you're at work, if you're at home listening to this, you can make that same decision and begin with a prayer. Romans 10 says that we believe with our heart, but with our mouth, confession is made to salvation. So pray this prayer with me if you want to accept Christ into your life, and say it out loud wherever you are. So pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Wash it all away. Take the guilt away and take the pain away. Come into my life and be the Lord of my life. Sin is no longer my master. The world is no longer my master. But Lord Jesus, I receive you as my master. Help me to live this life. Help me to walk this journey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And you can say amen right wherever you are. And you can even rejoice a little bit and say thank you, Lord, because I believe a great transformation has happened in your life. So if you'd like to join us again on a podcast, you can do that, obviously, through our social media sites or through the website. And please let us know if you've accepted the Lord into your life. We'd love to know. There's a way to contact us on our website and so forth. So until we see you next time, or until you hear us next time, God bless, and go forth and rejoice in the freedom that Christ has given you.